Hello. I think I'm on. Can you hear me? You can, right? All right. So, yeah, bread. Third week. And we have a few more to go. So I was thinking, you know, I'm going to go in the text and I'm going to say, what's really hitting me besides bread? And it began to sort of like come up, water, you know, another wonderful symbol for us in our life of faith. And we are surrounded by water. This is the first time I've ever lived on an island, surrounded by water. And one of the very first things that anyone has ever told me when we came to visit in February and March, and then again when we returned to move here and live here, was that you have to be careful in the water, right? Be careful in the ocean. In fact, one of my friends who I've recently met said to me, are you a good swimmer? And I said, well, sort of. You know, I was a lifeguard when I was in high school and early college, so I'm sort of a good swimmer, but I'm not fabulous, and I, you know, grew up in the Great Lakes. So it's a little different than the ocean, although there is still some similar tidal things, not the same, but similar. She said, well, never turn your back on the ocean, and always respect the ocean. And a few people even said to me, be careful. A lot of tourists come here every year and they die. And I've heard that more than once. It's like, you want me to really pay attention. Don't die while you're here, Pastor Angela. I promise you, I'll try my hardest. But the water is a really powerful thing, and so I thought, I'm going to respect it, and I'm going to learn a little bit more about it. So I did a little bit of research, and I learned that the really dangerous thing is the riptide. Right? Those things that just pull you out and just kind of take you off guard. But the thing that you feel often is the undertow, right? I learned a little bit about the undertow when I lived in the East Coast. In Boston, you go off the Cape, and man, if you're on the ocean side of the Cape, the undertow is tough to pull yourself back in. So that undertow is the bit of water that after the wave crashes and hits onto the shore, the undertow brings the water back out to the sea. So I don't want to focus on the rip current this morning because I don't want to go to the whole death thing. But I want to talk about the undertow just a little bit and use that as a symbol. You know what it's like when you're standing at the shore or near the shore and you want to get back into your towel to dry off, but that undertow kind of like pulls you back, right? And you don't really want to go. You kind of feel it and you have to kind of struggle with all your might to get back up. You can feel the ocean pulling itself back to itself, that ebb and flow, that back and forth. Jesus said this morning, no one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me would draw them. As in to be drawn to. And I just thought about the undertow and I thought, it's this wonderful sort of like flowing way of being drawn to and fro from the shore back out to sea. Being pulled into the larger body. Always being intertwined. Never being really separate, although moving and going. Now, if you fear the water, or if you're afraid of being in the ocean, I apologize, this probably doesn't work for you. So I thought about another symbol. What about the Enterprise? You know the Enterprise, right? That big, beautiful spaceship. So we'll go from the ocean to the outer space. So you're in outer space, and what happens if the Enterprise wants to call a ship home? What? Yeah, they beam, right? It beams it back up, draws the ship into the larger ship, right? So similar image, it's dry. It's sort of like it could leave if it wanted to, but it gets pulled and drawn into the larger ship. So we could say this morning that God is a little bit, if not a lot, like the ocean or the mothership. And the undertow or the disabled ship is a little bit like us. God hooks up to us and pulls us to Jesus and promises us to raise us up on the last day. Without any form of undertow or tidal currents moving back and forth, what would happen to the water? Nothing, right? It would just stay put. Got the moon and all that kind of thing, you know, that makes the waves and the tides. I get that. But if the water didn't have those movements, it would just stay put. It would eventually be stagnant. And we know what happens in stagnant water, right? So there's this wonderful flowing that's necessary. I heard of a former Muslim speak about his conversion to Christianity. He said that one of the major things that attracted him to Christianity is that it was so absolutely absurd. He said, God who is born and dies, salvation that begins by declaring that you can do nothing to save yourself, he said it either has to be true or the people proclaiming and believing it were just crazy. Why does anyone believe this stuff? I think the belief itself is a miracle. Here we are, thousands and thousands and thousands of years later, from the actual events of who we call as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and yet we're still here. We still claim to believe. In a little bit, we're going to profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Thousands of people, millions of people around the world are doing the same thing, or have done, depending on the time zone. I think I realized early on in my life that this stuff of faith was really actually pretty absurd. And it's really freaking difficult, right? It's not easy. And I truly believe if it wasn't for God's awesome power, I don't know how I would be standing here today and believing this remarkable story. Sound familiar? There are some people, though, who seem to have effortless faith. Have you run into them? Those people who seem to possess a spiritual gift I call the gift of faith. Those folks, I think they're fewer than we might assume. Those folks who find believing in Jesus Christ and in the whole story of his life, death, and resurrection as sort of effortless, and it just is to them. God being born of human form, who dies and rises again, this absurd story just seems to make sense to so many. Well, for others, like you and maybe your neighbor next to you, but definitely me, I'm glad there's this miracle of being pulled and drawn by God. If it wasn't for God's goodness and God's grace, my faith really just solely being relied upon by me and what I could do, it just wouldn't happen. So thank God for God's goodness. If I had to do something, if I had to make myself believe, if I had to work myself into believing or even into the grace of God, I'd be in trouble. Rather, for me, it's that being pulled, that being drawn. It's like a tug at my heart sometimes, or this internal sort of knowing in my stomach. It's that knowing beyond my five senses. I know so many of my clergy friends who went to seminary and then left seminary and then went to seminary and left seminary, and they just said, I just couldn't fight God any longer. You know that story. Maybe you don't know a pastor who's had that story of saying, I feel called to something, no, I don't want to. I feel called to something, no, I don't think so. Perhaps you feel that in your own life with your own vocation. God has that tug once in a while, if not all the time. Like the undertow, no matter how far away we get, or we think we get from the shore, it's never separate from the whole body of the ocean. I know no matter how far I think I go from the source of my life, I will not separate. We're never apart from the whole body of God. There's nothing that I could do, or there's nothing that will happen to me to separate me from God. Even on those days where that tug and that pull just isn't good enough, and I just simply say, I just don't know if I can believe. Even then, God continues to tug. and is never separate. That one who is the bread of life, the source of all, is never removed from us, never far away. We're always sort of flowing, I think, to and fro in this ocean of life. We're always united, though, with the one who is the spring, the source. In our passage today, Jesus eventually quoted from Isaiah 54. He did it on purpose, too. He pulled up the old scriptures to say, I am a voice of God. He says, they shall be taught by God. And he adds, everyone who has heard of the Father and learned comes to me. So the method described here that God uses to draw people, to pull people to God's self, Jesus said is education, is being learned. The Greek word translated disciple is related to the word to learn. To learn. And the word is mathetes or menatheno. So mathematics, learning, they're connected. Simply put, disciples, Jesus said, is learning. Disciples are learners. So perhaps that works for you. Perhaps that's how you've come to know this person of Jesus. You've learned your way into faith. But I wonder, how is it that you've come? How is it that you've come to be a follower of Jesus? Or how is it that you're a Christian? Or at the very least, how is it that you got yourself here this morning? I think we're all gathered together this morning, partly, if not entirely, because God brought us here, right? You had to get in your car, you had to get in your truck, you had to take the bus or perhaps walk like I did. We had to actually move our bodies here. But how is it that you got here? I think it's because of God. The God who draws us to Jesus also draws us to one another, draws us to be together in community. God draws us to God's self and continues to do so even when we ourselves seem far away. So some of the work of being drawn and pulled to God comes through learning and study as disciples. Sometimes, for me, a lot of times, it's that internal tug, that pull, that sort of other way of knowing, that longing for God. Sometimes it's the pull and desire for community, or ohana, this word that I'm learning what it means, the desire to have a family, to call home. But if that's the case, that means that we're all in this together, right? We're all a part of the ocean of life, this family of faith. We're interconnected in a way that makes us responsible for each other. And not just responsible on Sunday mornings, but responsible throughout our lives. To care for, to connect with, to uplift and to support. But also, my Swedish friends back home don't like to believe this, but to challenge each other too. To say, how are you doing in your walk of faith? What's going on with you and God today? But also, beyond our responsibility to each other and those who we already know, if Ohana truly means what it means, then we're responsible for everyone, the people who have not yet heard of the love of God in Jesus Christ. We're responsible for those who have not yet walked in these doors or in the doors of any other worshiping community. If we truly believe that Jesus Christ is the bread of life, that we cannot live without this bread that does not perish, that will live forever, this bread that sustains us beyond anything else that we could long for. If we truly believe this absurd story, then aren't we to tell, to share, to care and to love for those who have not yet heard it? Perhaps it's not your gift to stand on a corner and proclaim it, because it ain't mine. You know, those gospel preachers who stand on corners and yell at people and tell them they're doing bad things. Walking through Waikiki the other night, a gentleman was telling everybody that there were, you know, dangers around them. Well, that's not my way. But if I truly believe the story, then it's my responsibility to find my way, to share the source of my life with others, to be that presence of love for the world. There is no other source. There is no other source of life that can satisfy us and make us feel fulfilled other than God. There are false things. There are things that will perish in the pantry of our lives. There are things that will try to distract us from the tug and the pull of being drawn to God. But there is only one source. There is only one larger body that will continue to sustain us and contain us for our whole lives and beyond. So this morning, be fed. Take in what you need to be nourished and sustained throughout the week, but don't just hold it within. Don't just keep it for yourselves, because then it's just kind of ended with you. And in a way, that's a perishing. But let it flourish. Let it blossom. Let it grow. Let it be like the undertow of moving in and out of your life, blessing those who have come into your life, into your world, perhaps coworkers, perhaps neighbors, perhaps people you will just walk by on the street. Be that source of life. Let's pray. Lord God, you give us this bread. You feed us and sustain us this morning, and we give you thanks that you are ever with us, that the bread you give will never perish. Help us to feel full and satisfied as we leave here today, but Lord, help us not to just leave with it ending upon us. Help us to be your source of love and mercy and grace for those whom we meet. Blessing your whole creation. In Jesus' name, amen.